Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our next guest will be fighting in the main event on Fox a week from tomorrow night at the Don Haskins Center in El Paso, Texas. He'll be fighting Devin Alexander, which should be a hell of a fight, of course. Devin Alexander, former welterweight champ of the world, and our next guest, Victor Ortiz, former welterweight champ of the world. So two former welterweight champs in the ring next Saturday night on Fox. And right now, Victor joins us live. What's up, Vic? How are you, my friend?
There you guys are. It's been a while, man. I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Physically, mentally, emotionally ready. So ready to give you guys all a show. And, man, it's been a while since I've been on the Border Patrol. Miss you guys.
You know what? It has been a while. We've missed talking to you as well. So where are you at right now?
Would you like me want the truth, or you want me to make something up so Coach doesn't hear me on the radio?
Tell us the truth.
Okay, I'm at IHOP.
Yeah. What's the training meal at IHOP a week before the fight?
No, I'm totally messing with you guys. I am at IHOP, but I notified Coach right before I got here.
All right,
Coach. I know you gave me my meal prep last night, but I wasn't really liking the fact that it had cheese in it. So I'm at IHOP, and he says, "Oh, champ, there you go." I said, "Yeah." So alternative, he said, "Yeah, get yourself 3 egg whites and oatmeal."
Okay.
I ordered just that. They didn't have oatmeal, so I had to get 3 boiled eggs. And I'm content with that because there's guys that actually don't eat the week of the fight. And if they do, very minimal. I'm talking about 100, 200, 300 calories per day.
No.
That's just not me.
No. I just actually had the 300 calories while you were answering that question, Victor. So I think I'm good for the rest of the morning.
Yeah.
So we haven't, I don't think we've talked about your son on the air. So for people that don't know, tell us all about being a father and your little boy.
Yeah, guys. Wow, it's been awesome. You know, he was the biggest surprise of my life, and he's pretty great. His name is Victor Royal Ortiz. Royal. I don't know. You guys may want to take a guess on why his name is Royal.
That's right, baby. Because you love the Royals. That's awesome.
Yep, the Kansas City Royals. Exactly. So, little Royal is great, healthy, happy. He started walking 3 weeks ago, and now it's true what people say. There's no slowing down anymore, so now he's everywhere. And thankfully, we have like little fences on the stairs because he started crawling up the stairs now, so that's kind of scary. But he's a great little boy, and I'm speaking to him in a lot of Spanish, so he's bilingual.
All right. How old is he now?
He just turned 1 January the 9th.
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome.
And he started walking almost 2 weeks after his birthday.
Okay, so becoming a father, how does that affect your desire and your motivation to fight? Because I've heard both ways. It makes it tougher because then you always want to be around your kid. It's hard to be away and training and putting all that work in. But some fighters have said it motivates you even more because it gives you something that you think about that you're fighting for, someone you're fighting for, and helps motivate you in that way. So how has it affected you as a fighter and your motivation having a son?
I believe having Royal by my side has affected me in a positive note. You know, I wake up with my great dear friend, Peter Turcios. If you guys want to follow him, you should. Peter Turcios. He and I will wake up at 4 in the morning, go out on our runs. Sometimes he beats me for the most part. He'll wake up at about 3:30 in the morning. We're out running, putting in miles and work. And why? Because I know that this guy's trying to keep me from feeding my son. That's not going to happen. So not on my watch.
Yeah.
I understand that he's a former world champion. He had a great run. Don't get me wrong. We are friends. But first and foremost, it's my career. First and foremost, it's my son. So now, nope, no, señor. Sorry.
So, you know, I think that's an interesting point, Victor, because I think about it sometimes when you have a kid, it's like on the one hand, I feel like when I had my first, when I started having kids, like, okay, there's more pressure now because I'm in charge of more than just my own life. Like I have to, you know, if I fail, I don't just fail myself now, I fail my kids. But on the other side, it's less pressure because I know no matter what happens, my kids are going to love me. You know, like they don't care how successful I am or anything like that. They love me because I'm their dad. Do you see it as more pressure or less pressure now that so you've got Royal at your side?
No, I don't really see it as pressure because, like you said, you know, my little son, he loves me unconditionally. You know, he knows no wrong. He knows no right. He just goes to the bathroom in his diapers and cries when he's hungry. So he's pretty amazing. You know, at the end of the day, I think the way I prep for the fight will speak for itself. And here we go on to another victory, you know.
The road to
the championships is a lonely one. And at this point in time, I don't feel that because I have my son. And I'm in the 8th, 9th, 10th round of sparring sessions. And mind you, I have two great Ukrainian champions that have prepped me for this fight. It gets very lonely and hard in that ring sometimes. And there's times where I think to myself, I look at Peter and Peter will just point to, you know, to the mind, like with his finger. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I got you. All right, I got you, baby. So then I come back in there and think about my son for a second and boom, we'll do the 12 rounds. No problem.
Victor Ortiz is our guest. He fights next Saturday night on Fox, live from El Paso against Devin Alexander in a battle of former welterweight champs of the world. And something else I read, Vic, that I wanted to ask you about. You know, I can't even remember how long you've been coming on the show, but it's been a while, several years, and we've talked about your past, and we've talked about the relationship with your dad. And so you had a chance to spend Christmas and New Year's Day with your father and your son, and so this is the first time that you obviously had them together.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. This is the first time since I was a little kid, little boy, you know, that my nephews kind of started the whole situation by, after my last fight, they said, hey, Tio, can we come to your house for Christmas in California? I was like, absolutely, mijo. So you just got to ask your grandma. You know, the three boys, they're being raised by their grandma and grandpa, which, bless them, they're amazing people. And I said, yeah, mijo, I'll buy you guys your flights, but I got to talk to grandma first because I don't want to get chewed out, you know. So I spoke to Ms. Sylvia, and she and I coordinated their flights, got them into California. So then I got a phone call that same week from someone from Texas, you know, from El Paso, like Juarez area. And it was an auntie of mine, apparently, that I didn't know about, and I don't know the people, but apparently they're my relatives. I didn't grow up with them, you know, or anybody from the family, so I don't really know my roots there. So I get a phone call, and it's a strange number. Hello, this Victor Ortiz, this is he. How may I help you? Well, I don't know how to get a hold of your father. I'm like, well, I can definitely try. I have a few numbers for him. What's going on? Well, his sister passed away. I'm like, his sister? Would that be my aunt? I said, exactly. I was like, whoa, I don't know this lady. They're like, yeah, I know, but we're just trying to get a hold of your dad. So I had to call the man myself, and I thought to myself, it's going to be an easy delivery. Hey, your sister died type stuff. Bye. You know, no, it was not. So I called the man, and hey, Dad, I don't really know how to tell you this, but they called me from this number that apparently your sister, she passed away. What? Who said this? I'm like, I don't know, a guy named Martin and another guy named Jamie. So I don't feel like he says, those are your cousins. I said, I know I've heard of Jamie before, but I don't know the other one.
And how long had it been since you talked to your dad at that point, like when you called him?
Before this time around, it had been about 2 years.
Right.
So then I go, you know, Dad, I guess the lady's name is Bertha. He's like, yeah, it's your auntie. I go, okay, well, it seemed like he was almost crying, and I just pulled aside, and I go, I looked at my son, you know, and I gave him a little kiss, and I just go, hey, Dad, look, I know you don't have much in Kansas, So I'm going to go ahead and purchase your information, your flights and stuff to bring you out for Christmas and the hope for New Year's. He says, for the first time, I learned a word in Spanish that I've never heard. It's called anhelo, A-N-E-L-O. Anhelo means the love, the passion, the everything that's in your heart that you once thought you had, like all the love in the world possible, is now gone, is what he tells me. When he told me that, I said, why would that be gone? Did your sister pass? He's like, yeah, what do I have to live for now? And I said, well, you can start with this one. I'm still here. I have a son now. His name is Victor Royal, and you can meet him. I have his mama, Deborah. And then just so you know, your three grandsons are coming, Isaac, Alexander, and Xavier, to visit me. So I think it'd be great to have you here. So I got him into California. Long story short, you know, he had the first Christmas of his life where he looked at me straight in the eyes and he says, wow, why'd you treat me like this, Victor? Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's the best Christmas I've ever had. And I can die tomorrow and say that I spent the time with my son and my grandsons, and I got to meet the best Victor of all, which is your son. And I was like, oh, thank you, Dad. I appreciate it. So then after that, it was he got to see me train. He hasn't seen me train or even fight or get ready, spar, since I was 7 years old. So
wow,
it was kind of interesting to see my father at 76 years old now, seeing his son at 31 and his grandson. Well, I was 30. I'm 31 now. And his grandson is now one. So it's interesting.
You know what? No, seriously. So we went, and everyone knows your story and how you grew up and everything else. And so we've talked to you for so many years on the show and obviously off the show. I'm hearing all this. I'm more happy for you than when you won the championship of the world to know that now, I mean, you had your dad and you had your son all there for the holidays, and this is the way this story, at least that part of the story, is ending. I couldn't be happier for you, man. That's got to feel. You have to have just a tremendous feeling in your heart to have that, because, you know, a couple of years ago you weren't talking to your dad and you didn't have your son, and now look what you have. That's, man, that's fantastic, Victor.
It's insane, bro. But man, I just want to say thank you for always giving me the words of inspiration that are needed behind the scenes, you know. So thank you, and thank you to all the Kansas, man. A big hug. And other than that, let's get off the touchy subject. What's up, Kansas?
So let's talk about this fight. So what's your preparation been like for this fight? Where have you been training at? And tell us how you're feeling. What are some of the things you've been doing? And you're out in California, obviously, but tell us about the preparation for the fight against Devin Alexander next Saturday night.
The preparation for this boxing match has been nothing shy of easy, I'll tell you that much. It's been one of the hardest camps that I've had in some time. You know, I have two Ukrainian world champs that have been helping me. They're both undefeated as pros. And I'll tell you one thing, they don't let me off my toes, that's for sure. They don't get me off the hook. If we're going to spar 12 rounds, it's 12 rounds of full war, and nothing easy about that. There's not a round I take off, so it's pretty awesome, you know. They're natural 147, 152 pounders, so they're heavy hitters. At this point in time, 4 in the morning, 3:30, 4 in the morning runs of my great dear friend Peter have been more than helpful. His words of inspiration to me every morning, and then from there we go train at 9 in the morning for our first training session, which is strength and conditioning, till 11. Then I get a 35-minute, 40-minute break sometimes. Straight to the gym at 12, 20-ish till about 2:30 p.m. And then done there for the day. I'm done in Ventura. So I'll either head out to my house in L.A., which is about 35-minute drive, and then I'll go on a hike in the evening, or I'll go on a slight little jog. So it's been, like I said, you know, it's been very, very tough, but I'm getting the proper nutrients in my body, and I'm very healthy. So, and then chasing the baby around to chase his right. diaper sometimes, that keeps me on my toes.
That's the toughest one. You know, somebody asked me the other day when I was talking about you, how long does he want to fight? Because, you know, some fighters, that's all they can do. That's it. They can fight, And when they're done fighting, then they have a lot of trouble moving on with life because they don't have any other options. You've been involved in music. Obviously, you've been in the movies with Stallone and done all these different things.
It's interesting. I got asked not long ago.
Right.
The thing is, I just turned 31, January 31st. So, with that said, I sat back one day and I had to finish a couple projects for TV shows and the movies and stuff. And when I did all that, I sat back and I listened to some. Well, I read a Tony Robbins book, and then I read The Secret again, and then I also the book of the Law of Principles and whatnot. So I sat back, and after reading all this stuff, I couldn't help but answer one thing: what do I really want? That was to reign as champion again, to have my belt again. Do I need them? No, but that's my goal that I never finished, and that to have that, and now have a son. My next goal is to one day have my son say, "Daddy, world champion. Daddy, world champion." That's what I want. It's not that I need it. It's not that at the end of the day, I also don't want to live to be 35, 40 years old and ask myself, what could I have done in my early 30s? What could I have done at 30 years old? Man, time just flew. I can't get that time back. I don't want that time to leave me and me be left with these questions. So I'm going 100% at just boxing. My agency for acting and management was not too happy to hear, but they understood that my dreams are still alive and I'm still chasing them, and I don't want to cut any shortcuts there. So both feet in one door, and that's boxing.
All right, Victor, you've mentioned twice that you've got two Ukrainians training you. I'm always interested because my grandparents were from Ukraine, and there's some big-time boxers coming out of Ukraine, and there have been for a while. Is there something that stands out about the Ukrainian mindset or anything that you can tell us when it comes to these guys that are training you?
That's awesome. I didn't know you were Ukrainian, bro.
Yeah, man.
That's great, man. No, you know what the thing is? I think a lot of Ukrainian guys and Russians as well, they have the tough lifestyle, they're not pampered.
Yeah.
Here in the US, there's a lot of tendency of pampering, I remember as youngsters in Kansas is not as pampered as Cali, and I'll explain that because I remember in Kansas, If you had a problem, some officers would go as far to, it's probably not a good thing to even put it out there. But in Kansas, I remember officer would be like, "Oh, you two boneheads have a problem with each other? Yeah, we'll handle it real quick. Nobody, and to let us do our thing. All right, real quick. You go your way. You go your way. Bye." That was over. Yeah. But in today's society here in California, especially, I'll sue you. So, and in Ukraine and in Russia, same thing. I've been there, you fight somebody, you're going to fight. Bye. You're going to tell the cop, what's the cop going to do? You give him $50, they'll let you go. So it's, I guess to a sense, what I'm trying to say, it's kind of third world-ish,
Yeah.
And you have to fight, literally and metaphorically, to get by. So I think that's where a lot of the good fighters from there come this way, because they're the poverty and all the craziness. They want to succeed. They want to have something, and that's how I see myself my whole life, and that's how I see a lot of the guys that I've hired to get me ready for Saturday.
Next Saturday night in El Paso, battle of former welterweight champs Victor Ortiz and Devin Alexander. And the fight's going to be live on Fox, on Big Fox. And so you can watch Victor and Devin Alexander fight on Fox next Saturday night. All right, Vic, are you going to come to Kansas City after the fight at some point? I mean, how long has it been since you've been to Kansas City? You need to get in here, man.
Dude, I have to, because, one, you have to meet Royal.
Right, yeah.
So I have to have all you guys meet Royal. And then also I've been having these dreams about Gates.
Right.
And Arthur Bryant. and Arthur Bryant's bro, so I have to. I have to.
We can fulfill those dreams. And also, if you want to come out here and then go out, Jake has volunteered to babysit Royal. Jake is a very respected babysitter in Kansas City, and so
kids love him.
Be more than happy to watch him if you need.
For you, Victor,
that is awesome.
Free of
that
charge.
Is awesome. Yes.
You know. In all seriousness, Victor, what we got to do is we got to get him to a Royals game.
Right. Royal needs to go to a Royals game.
Yes.
Because you know you take him to guest services and they'll give you a little certificate that you know puts his name on it, says first Royals game and all that stuff. I mean.
Done deal,
what could be more important than taking Royal to his first Royals game
this
summer?
Dude, that'd be great, bro. So the baby could take pictures with obviously Moose and Eric and
maybe not
Salvador. Everybody.
Salvi will be there. Moose probably won't, but we'll see about Haas. But for sure, Salvi. We'll get his picture with Salvi. That'd be a done deal.
We'll do it.
That'd be great, bro.
Hey man, we're excited for you. Good luck for your the week leading up to the fight, and can't wait to watch you on Saturday night, a week from Saturday night on Fox, and we'll be pulling for you, man, as always. Okay.
Thank you, greatly appreciate it. Big hug to all of you guys, and hey, do me a favor, Steven.
Yes.
We'll have some burnt ends on my behalf, bro.
You know what? I'll do you a favor. I'll do myself a favor. You know what? Twist my arm. I'll go do that. I'll send you some pictures, all right?
All right, brother. You got to take care.
All right, go get it. Win that fight. That is Victor Ortiz, who is a very good friend of the show and will be fighting a week from tomorrow night on Fox in prime time against Devin Alexander, a battle of two former welterweight champs of the world. And look, man, it's been great to get to know him and kind of go on that journey with him. I mean, we started having him on the show when he was just starting to fight on HBO.
Yeah.
And building his career. I mean, you know, we watched the fight when he beat Berto for the welterweight title.
I'll never forget that night.
I had a chance to go to Vegas for the Mayweather fight and was there in his, dressing room. And the week leading up to the fight was one of the most, even though the fight was, I hated, but it was one of the most memorable experiences. But one of the coolest things I think we've ever done, like as a show, remember after we beat Berto?
Yep.
And then we're doing the show over at Title Boxing, and he's going to spend the day with us. He brings, he brings the welterweight title. And for me, he's a kid that used to box and loved boxing and everything else. I'm like, that's, I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
Welterweight champs comes to town, he's bringing and we got to, be with him and the title and have a welcome home party and everything else. So cool. And it's been really good. It's been gratifying to see him, in the Expendables movie and all this other stuff that he's done and, the cameo on Ray Donovan, but he wants to fight. And I get it. Like you said, he doesn't want to get to his late 30s and think about, well, I should have done this when I was 31. I should have done this when I was 32. And, fatherhood has him motivated. So I can only hope that my number one hope is he's safe, and he comes out of the fight healthy, but it's a big fight. And there's one thing you can say, but I saw somebody write this, it's so true. You have never seen a Victor Ortiz fight that wasn't exciting in some way, shape, or form.
That's true.
Usually, is that right, Jake? You watch enough fights. When Victor fights, something happens you're going to remember.
Oh, every time.
Something happens, right?
It's entertaining.
You will never, ever watch a Victor Ortiz fight and just watch a boring, 10 or 12 rounds.
Yeah, no, it'll never be a technical, it's not going to be, this is just for technical boxing fans. No, this.
What voice was that, by the way? Are you mocking
nerds
me
that
just
like technical
now?
Boxing.
Larry Merchant.
You just mocked me with that voice,
nope.
And I like it.
Nope.
So that's great, man.
I was thinking about when he came back with that welterweight belt.
Hit me over the head with it.
I got to take him down into the Royals clubhouse. And I mean, you should have seen how excited Ned Yost was to meet him.
Did Ned Yost wear the belt by any chance?
No, but man, he couldn't wait to take pictures with him. I mean, Ned doesn't usually show a lot of excitement. You don't see him smile a whole lot. When I told him, I said, "Hey, we're bringing the guy that just won the welterweight championship." Oh, I watched that fight. Are you kidding me? He's a big Royals fan. He was so excited. All the players couldn't wait to take pictures with Victor and all that stuff. And now he's got a son named Royal.
Yeah,
how cool is that?
And he reunited with his dad.
Yeah,
which at points I thought that would be impossible, but that's beautiful, man. And that just goes to show you. And again, I sometimes try to, I don't know. I just spill my heart and my gut sometimes on the show. If there's someone out there, whether it's in your family or a friend or someone you haven't talked to for a long time, and maybe it's so long you don't even remember why, Mm-hmm. Make that phone call. If he did that, if he got to get back together with his dad after all those years, I mean, his dad hasn't seen him even spar or train since he was 7 years old. Are you kidding me? Make that phone call today, man. If you take anything away from the interview, make that phone call, because life's too short to hold grudges, especially if there's the ability to call that person, because
Amen.
You don't want to wait till it's too late. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.